I want to begin with the question, how do we thrive against a Christless Christianity? And that sounds almost like an oxymoron, a paradox of some sort, a Christless Christianity, but I believe it is possible. And when we fall into having a Christless Christianity, we will not be able to thrive in the most desperate of times. And so we're going back to the basics this morning, and I want to just talk about three things this morning from our passage from John 5. First of all, it is easy to miss Christ in our Christianity. It's actually easy to miss him in the midst of identifying as a Christian. It's easy to miss Jesus in the midst of our life and faith and worship and everything. Secondly, our culture embraces a lesser Christ Christianity, and I'll explain exactly what that means. But I do believe that our world around us actually will be accepting of Jesus, but defined according to their own terms, not necessarily the Jesus of the Scriptures. And thirdly, and I've shared it already, we thrive when we rediscover the Christ of Christianity. And I think that applies whether you have been following him all your lives or you are just beginning to figure out what it means to even believe in God. I believe this applies to all of us. We thrive when we rediscover the Christ of Christianity. Just like our boards outside describe things that we have lost and things that we have gained, I think this opportunity for those that call themselves Christ followers, Christians, it has been a hidden blessing in disguise. What I mean by that is, in the midst of not being able to gather for worship, not being able to gather physically for small groups, Bible studies, many different opportunities that were more than abundantly there during this time, before this time, I think this is a tremendous opportunity for all of us to take a step back when we remove all the things that we consider part of our quote-unquote Christian lives and distill it to the very basic fundamentals of what does it mean to have a genuine biblical faith. A Christless Christianity is a very dangerous kind of faith that often devolves into nothing more than just an external religion. And even if you are a committed Christ follower, we can fall into this so very easily. And this time of COVID-19 has been a tremendous litmus test to see what do we really have when we take away church, being able to physically gather, fellowship with one another, worship, have small groups. Yes, we're doing it virtually, but it's not exactly the same, is it? Remove all those things, and what do we really have left? I think it's been, in many ways, a very humbling time to realize that often what's left is only a mere shadow of what we thought we had before COVID-19 hit. But when we go through challenging times, physically, emotionally, financially, in your marriage, these what we call desperate times, a religion itself will not help you thrive through it. And this is what we want to think about this morning. It is, first of all, very easy to miss Christ in our Christianity. In the opening verse here, in verse 39, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. We often have a caricature in our mind or an impression of the spiritual leaders that Jesus encountered during his life and ministry. And Jesus was addressing these very people. These were people that if you were to meet them on the street, you would bow down out of respect. You'd be awed by their piety, their devotion to God, their family. They were good people. We need to keep that in mind. These were people that were eyewitnesses to his miracles, to the power of Jesus Christ himself in the flesh. They heard his teaching. They saw the lame walk and the blind receive their sight. These are the ones that for sure were right with God. Certainly because they knew the scriptures. They tried to live it out. And yet in the midst of that, Jesus says, you study the scriptures diligently, but what? You refuse to come to me to have life. In other words, they completely missed Jesus in the midst of their life and faith and devotion and their families, even in their wonderful ministries that they were doing. They missed Jesus. And I think this warning is one that is not just for the spiritual leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, Sadducees, those that we consider the holy ones during that time in Palestine, but it's something we need to look at ourselves today. It is very easy to miss Jesus in the midst of our Christianity and our faith. We all look forward to the days where we can feel safe to get on a plane again and travel far and wide. Everything seems to be on hold, including family vacations, of which my family is longing to do, but we're in this long waiting game. But in those pre-COVID times where you'd get ready for a trip, you'd pack your bags, you have your checklist and all these things, you get very busy doing, you get excited. But if you get to the airport and you're traveling overseas and you forget the most important thing, your passport, you've forgotten the main thing that in the midst of packing, getting all your supplies and essentials and your things checklist off, if you forget that you were actually taking a trip to a different country and you forget your passport, good luck trying to enjoy your trip. For many of us this fall who are studying in colleges and campuses and universities, and as we are in this waiting game of finding out also what's going to happen with that, it's very easy for a young college student to be very excited about starting a new semester, moving in. Do I have cleaning supplies? Do I have a pillow? Do I have my books and texts and everything like that? It's very easy in the midst of all the things associated with college life. Make sure you don't forget that you're there for 4 years. Your parents are paying probably a lot of money, or you're taking out loans in order to eventually graduate. Forget about that part, and you will lose sight of the real purpose behind why you are doing all the things that you're doing as a student. For those of us that have been blessed with becoming a parent, you know that you can buy mountains and mountains of supplies and accessories and necessities to get ready for an addition to your family. And I think it's very easy in the midst of all the craziness and excitement and worry to forget that a baby is coming. That is the main thing, is it not? Just as our family was surprised, no, we're not having another one, but when James came into our family as our third child, it changed everything. And it's very easy sometimes to forget that the main thing about getting ready to have an addition to your family, it is that precious life of that child that God is blessing your family with. And I'm reminded, as business leader Stephen Covey reminds us the main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. And I think that doesn't just apply to corporations and businesses and to your organization, but I believe in our faith that is critically important. You see, I believe it is easy to miss Christ in our Christianity. We sometimes have an overdependence in our spiritual leaders. You may ask, how? How is this possible? Sometimes we depend so much on our leaders and pastors that we forget that in the end, it's about our connection to Jesus that is most important. But sometimes, in an overdependence upon those spiritual leaders, we can miss the main thing. Sometimes even in our Bible study, our desire to know more about him, just as the Jewish leaders in their time, you can get so caught up in biblical knowledge and content and theology, and trust me, I love those things, you can sometimes miss Jesus even in the midst of that. Here at Trinity, we are a typically very, very engaged church in a million and one different kinds of ministries, meetings going on. But now that all that has been put on hold at some level and degree, we realize that even in the busyness of ministry, we can run ourselves ragged and forget that the main thing that we have to keep in mind is that it is about Jesus. And even the security of our church traditions, our Sunday worship, the things that we typically are very accustomed to in our lives, we can even in those good things miss meeting Jesus. I think it is really important during this time to take a step back. During this time where some have labeled a massive reset for our families and lives, and in the midst of this pandemic, when things are only slowly beginning to open, we need to take time to evaluate. Are we and have we missed Christ in the midst of our Christianity and lives? Secondly, I believe our culture embraces a lesser Christ Christianity. My question that I like to ask all of us this morning is our culture hostile to the Christian faith? Many would say yes, and in some degree I would agree. At the same time, I think I could also say not really. It depends how you define Jesus and how you define the Christian faith. You see, in our culture, in our world, whether it's here in America or abroad, we have a lot of visions and understanding of who Jesus is. For example, for some, we have a very handsome Jesus. Maybe the epitome of what a man should be. Some of us have seen portrayals of Jesus as the peaceful, serene Jesus, or a positivity Jesus. Hang loose, right? Everything is chill, everything is cool. You see, our culture has no problem with seeing Jesus and seeing his followers as being just good Christian people trying to treat your neighbors as you would want to be treated yourself. But we need to be very careful when we think about this cultural pressure to redefine and bring a lesser Christ to our Christianity. Often, our culture wants to smash Jesus down to a little bit glorified picture of ourselves. He's like us, just a little bit nicer, a little bit more positive, a little more kinder. He teaches good things. He was the highest human being that ever lived. It's someone that inspires us and moves us and encourages us. We live in a day and age where religious pluralism still defines our culture. And anything that seems exclusive is seen as intolerant, divisive, dangerous. But if you shrink Jesus down to just a little bit better kind of person than us, that would be okay. Rabbi Botich, I think, encapsulates this kind of thinking as narrow-minded to say that Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus, Muhammad, Krishna are all symbols of God. God isn't limited to Jesus Christ. All the major world religions point to the same God. And there lies the danger. And there lies how we can lose Christ in our Christianity. When we see him not really that much different than a Buddha or a Krishna, and oh yes, another avatar of God, Jesus. If we fall into that, though our culture deems it extremely bigoted and intolerant, which is the mark of our age, we will lose Christ in the midst of our Christianity. As long as you are sincere Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, or Jew, always, all these are different roads to salvation. To honor the late Ravi Zacharias, who God called home this past week, a man that greatly impacted my life early on as a college student. He reminds us in his prophetic voice that God has used him across our world for decades. All religions are not the same. All religions do not point to God. All religions do not say that all religions are the same. At the heart of every religion is an uncompromising commitment to a particular way of defining who God is or is not, and accordingly of defining life's purpose. This we have to be aware of in the midst of, yes, a very diverse culture and world in which we live in today. Yes, we honor, we respect, we love all. But if we lose that understanding of a biblical Jesus, we will lose him in our Christianity, and we will not be able to thrive as God defines that for us in our lives. A Christless or lesser Christ Christianity is only a shadow of the real thing. And we have to take time to evaluate our understanding of Jesus and what pictures come to our mind when we think about who Jesus really is to me. And thirdly and finally this morning, we are reminded that we only thrive when we rediscover the Christ of Christianity. We look at what Jesus says to Philip, John 14:9. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Just think about that statement alone from the lips of Jesus himself. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus was not just a better kind of human being or the highest one that ever lived. He indeed was the incarnate Son of the living God. Forget that, and you will not be able to thrive in your life and in your faith, in your Christianity. And it's very easy to lose that in the midst of going through desperate times. Only the Christ, the biblical Jesus, in Christianity can truly save you and continually save you once you become one of His, a crucified, resurrected, and ascended, glorious Lord. I thought of a couple things. If someone were to ask me what is so unique about Jesus, I believe that only the Jesus of the Gospels can do a couple things, and you can easily add dozens more to this list. He is the only one that can free us forever from sin and its power. He is the only one because He paid for it all in Himself, a life completely holy, sinless, and blameless. Jesus, because He took on flesh, is able to dwell with us in our suffering. He can absorb it. He enters into it, just like when my child is burning up with a fever and there seems to be nothing that we can do except wait it out. I remember hugging my son James when he was going through febrile seizures because of his spiking fever a couple years back. You hold your child, you hug them, and you want so much, and you pray, can you take that fever away? Give it to me so that my child could be healed. Is that not what Jesus not just wishfully thought, but actually did for us? He is able to dwell with us in our suffering, in your isolation, loneliness, struggle. He can dwell and be present with you. That's how you can thrive in the midst of your desperate times. In the biblical Jesus, we are treasured and we are loved unconditionally, Romans 5:8. Jesus enters into our lives, Revelation 21, and He redeems us. All the regrets, all the mistakes, all the tragedies, all the pain, and He can make all things new. Jesus, by His authority, can call us to Himself. He commissions us in a calling for our lives, and then He empowers us through His Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Colossians 1, and I have some references there on the screen that you can look at. We don't have time to look at all of it. Jesus is the only one that demands all. He wants all of your life, all of your devotion, all of your heart, all of your resources. He demands it. But He also Himself gives all. He gave all of Himself for us. And He also rules with authority of all things. He rules over the universe as Lord of all. This is just a short list that I thought of from the top of my head looking at scriptures of how Jesus indeed can help us to thrive in the most desperate of times. And I have found in the mornings these days, I've been reading through Luke and the book of Acts. And I've come to realize that there is a dual dynamic that takes place as you are on a journey to get to know this Jesus. Two things that I believe are very true. You have a desire, and you realize that you are coming to know Him better and better as the months, years, and decades go by. You become more familiar with His teaching, His actions, His thoughts. You're more mesmerized by Him. You're more taken in by Him. You're getting to know Him better year after year. And at the same time, you realize as you are getting to know Him better and better, you realize how much you don't know him at all. There's so much more to him than you ever studied before, you ever imagined, you ever dreamed, you ever understood. He rocks you every time in his actions, in his words, in his healings, in his miracles, in what he did for us on the cross. You realize how much you've only scratched the surface in getting to know who this Jesus really is. I believe a true Christ follower has both those dynamics going on at the same time. James Boyce, one of my pastoral heroes, died of liver cancer at age 61 after being diagnosed only for 8 weeks. He wrote this, and I'll read a sentence or two before putting the rest of the quote on the screen. If you've been trusting in your baptism, if you've been trusting in your profession of faith, if you've been trusting in your church membership or your knowledge of the Bible or doctrine, your generous stewardship or your Christian upbringing, and then we'll put the rest on the screen. If you have been trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross in your place, abandon it. Stamp upon it. Grind it down. Dust off the place it lay. Then turn to Jesus Christ alone and trust him only. You see, I'm going to make maybe a statement that could confuse you initially, but Christianity does not save you. Only Christ does. Christianity doesn't save you. It is Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ that saves you. And so even in our evangelism, we often present a system of life. And if someone is going to reject Christianity, don't let them just reject a culture or a Christian system, but present the person of Jesus. And make sure it's the Christ of the Gospels, a biblical Christianity, not a cultural lesser Jesus. And let people make a choice whether they are interested, want to know more, or they say, he's not for me. They're going to reject. If you are going to reject Christianity, make sure it's a biblical Jesus that you are looking at and choosing to follow or not. Keeping the main thing as the main thing is indeed a critical part of how we thrive in the midst of desperate times. You see, if you're playing a football game, this time we'll look at the New England Patriots. With all that has to happen to pull off one game, we know in the end it's about scoring more touchdowns than the other team in order to win. If you're going to go fishing, as I did with my kids last Sunday, you dig up all the worms, make sure your lines are untangled, you get out there, you have all the things that you need, your tackle, bait, everything. And in the midst of all that, we cannot forget that the main thing is to catch a fish, which Ella did very well. That was almost a 10 to 12 inch smallmouth bass. If you're going to grill tomorrow, you can go through all the preparations and the craziness, but in the end, the main thing is to make something delicious like this awesome, dreamy burger to put into your mouth and your guest's mouth, and they say, that was awesome. That is the main thing. Jesus has to be the main thing of our lives and of our faith. It makes all the difference in the world. Am I getting to know him? Am I serving him faithfully? Am I making him famous? Am I loving him? Am I following him? It is that Jesus orientation and empowerment of your life, not just church or Christianity or other people or a pastor or a leader or all the busy things that you do, but it is about him. He is the main thing. What an opportunity during this pandemic to take a step back when things have been taken away and see what has really been left behind. It is Jesus who said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so just three questions we could think about, and I will join anyone that wants, as well as some of our other leaders and pastors on our virtual coffee hour immediately following service. When was the last time you lost something? Could be anything, could be even something this morning. Why is it, secondly, easy to lose Jesus in our lives? That would be a great question to ask yourself for those that are watching with your families around your screens and even during our coffee hour. And thirdly, how does a opportunity to rediscover Jesus, the biblical Jesus of the Gospels, help us thrive in the most desperate of times? Join me in a word of prayer. If God has spoken to any of you, would you join me? Jesus, I know some things about you, but not in the ways that maybe I should. I definitely understand what Pastor was talking about, that the culture often tries to redefine who Jesus is as just another religious leader, no different than the others. But today, I've been challenged. And today I want to take one step closer to genuinely taking a look at who the Jesus of the Gospels, of the Scriptures, of the Bible really is all about. I've had a lot taken away from me during this pandemic. I have nothing to lose. I invite you, Jesus, to reveal yourself to me as I rediscover who you are, maybe for the very first time. And Lord, for a lot of others in the midst of having church and ministry taken away, we're very humbled as we realize that our faith in Christianity has really lacked you, Jesus. And we repent, and we desire so much to rediscover who you are, because in the end, that's what really counts. That's what will last. That's what will help us thrive. And so, Lord, we once again want to rediscover you in our lives. Thank you that you demand all. Thank you that you gave us your all. And thank you that you empower us to do all for your glory, your fame, because of your love, your faithfulness. We thank you. We recommit ourselves to rediscovering you in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.